All right, I want to welcome everybody to the master's class here at Summit Church, and we are in the Gospel of John, and we are in chapter 13, verses 1 through 17, and we're going to do part 2 of Lessons from Foot Washing. Lessons from Foot Washing. Can you imagine learning anything from washing somebody's smelly feet? Well, that's what we're going to try and do today. Last week, we began talking about the lessons that we can learn from this portion of Scripture where Jesus is in the upper room and he washes the feet of his disciples. Now, I said last week that I've heard a lot of sermons on this portion of Scripture. Have you guys heard a lot of sermons on the washing of the feet? You guys heard a lot of the sermons? Oh, yeah, man, this is one that lots of preachers want to preach on. And it's a good topic. And a majority of those sermons are focused on being humble servants of the Lord, right? And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to get to being humble servants of the Lord. But I'm also going to talk about what the Bible has to say about foot washing and how that applies to us in this day and age. And last week, we spent a lot of time talking about what the physical act of foot washing was. We went through a whole bunch of things, and so I'm not going to go back over all of that. But the one thing I want us to remember as we go through this message is that we shouldn't focus on the physical act of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. That's not what this is all about, any more than you should worship the miracles that he did. You worship the man and the message that he was giving us from those miracles rather than the physical act of the foot washing itself. It's on the spiritual messages that Jesus was illustrating by performing this act of service that we ought to focus our attention on here this morning. Everybody with me on that? Amen? All right. So today, many churches have turned foot washing into a religious ritual. Now, in fact, Faye reminded me after class that there are some churches that have a foot washing ceremony as part of taking communion. But in the Lord's day, foot washing was not done as any type of religious service or any type of ritual. It was just a very common practice. It was just something that everybody did on a regular basis because their feet got dirty and dusting from walking on all of the dirt roads and paths in sandals or going barefoot. You didn't have the kind of shoes we have today, which cover up all your feet, and you walked on dirt roads, your feet would get dirty, right? If you're going barefoot and sandals. Now, it was just something that everybody did. Now, don't misunderstand me. There is nothing wrong with practicing foot washing in a church service. It is a ceremony with a lot of powerful images and lessons, and if it helps you get closer to Christ, man, I am all for it. But we will look today to see what the Bible says about foot washing and whether every Christian is commanded to perform it as a ritual like baptism and the Lord's Supper, okay? So to help us get started here today, I'm going to read through our background text, which tells us of the physical act that Jesus performed, the washing of the disciples' feet. And we begin our lesson here this morning in chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, that means that the crucifixion was really close. This is that hour. That hour is approaching them. And this is the last few moments before he goes out to the Garden of Gethsemane and then comes, gets arrested, and then goes and is crucified, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. That means he wasn't walking around moping and doing all kinds of things. He was loving on his disciples, even though he knew his end was coming. He was loving on his disciples right up to the very end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now, just like everything else that Jesus did, this act of foot washing had a message for us beyond the physical act. And there are some great lessons here for us to learn in these words. Now, it is my prayer that each of us open up our hearts and hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to us and how He wants to help us apply these messages and these lessons to our daily lives, because they are important messages for us to apply to our heart. Now, I want to cover four lessons. There's more than this. We could speak forever on this, but I want to pick out four lessons that we can learn from this demonstration that Jesus gives and the words that He uses to teach His disciples and us. Now, last week, we talked about the very first lesson, and that was a lesson concerning salvation. If you want to hear about that lesson concerning salvation, it's on last week's podcast. So, it's a lesson concerning salvation, and that lesson is that we need to know that salvation is essential. Now, I'm not going to go back over that one lesson because I want to be sure that I get to the other three lessons that I didn't get to last week. But the important question that I challenge each of us to answer in our own hearts was, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Have you been washed by the blood of the Lamb? Are you saved? So if the answer to that question is no, then the very first thing you need to do is to get saved. And you need to come see me after class, or even if you won't come up here right now, I can't think of a better way to spend our time here this morning than making sure that you are saved. I will stop everything in this class and make sure everybody in this class is saved. Otherwise, you come up to me and talk to me after class. But it's important to me that each of us know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Master. Now, here's the second lesson. The first lesson, the second lesson that we're going to cover and learn here today is not only salvation is needed, but security is eternal. Now, if you are saved, you will be kept saved. Now, we talked a little bit about this last week, but I want to expand on it in this lesson. You guys would never guess that eternal security is an important message in my heart, right? We haven't spent any time talking about that at all, have we? Not one bit. All right. But I want to expand on that here in this lesson from what we talked about last week. Chapter 13, the Gospel of John, verse 10. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. So that "but not all" means that not all of you are clean. Peter, you're clean, but not all of the people who are in this room are clean. So Jesus is telling Peter, he that is washed needeth not to be washed again except his feet. That is, you don't have to keep getting saved. If you've been washed, and washed means getting saved, if you've been saved, if you've been twice born, then you don't need to get saved over and over again. Now, you're going to get your feet dirty, but you don't need a whole nother bath. You remember the illustration we gave last week is you come to church, you got yourself all bathed up and ready to go, got your perfume on, got your good soap on and everything, and you walk in, and they want to wash your feet, but you think they're going to just wash your feet, but they say, no, you got to have a whole bath. You say, I've already had a whole bath. Well, if you're saved, you don't need a whole nother bath. You just need to get your feet cleaned up, right? That's the illustration that we walk in a dirty world, and we get sin on us by getting dirty feet, right? So we just need our feet washed. So a Christian is going to sin. Can we say amen to that? Anybody here think you're not going to sin once you become saved? Yeah, no, okay. You know that is true because the Bible teaches it, and we have all experienced it. Think of the saints in the Bible who had dirty feet. Noah sinned, and he got his feet dirty, right? Abraham sinned, and he got his feet dirty. David sinned, and he got his feet dirty. Simon Peter sinned, and he got his feet dirty. Even the great apostle Paul sinned and got his feet dirty. Yet they did not need to be saved again. They didn't need to have another bath. No matter how good you are, no matter how moral you are, the Bible says that we are not perfect. Even after we are saved, we sin. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But notice that getting your feet dirty doesn't mean that you have to get saved all over again. Now, there are some people who believe that once you get saved, that's fine, but if you sin, you lose your salvation. Now, just imagine how that would be. Yeah, what that would be like. How many times a day would you have to get saved? Yeah, think about that for a little bit. You might say, well, Brother Keith, I don't sin because I don't rob banks and I don't use God's name in vain and I don't steal. I don't do the really big sins, right? Well, I agree. I don't do any of those things either. But I have to tell you something, and I know this is going to come as a shock. I sin. And unfortunately, I probably sin more. I sin more than I want to, right? But do you know what sin is? The Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. So let me ask you, do you always, in every instance, do everything you ought to do? Everything you ought to do. There's a sin of omission and there's a sin of commission, right? So there's something good you know you ought to be doing and you're not doing it. That's sin, right? The Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. Now, you've never had a foolish thought in your whole mind, have you? In your whole life. Right? So, think about that. And the Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That means anything you do that is not of faith is sin. And the Bible says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ooh, now I'm pulling out the big guns, aren't I? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Can you honestly say that you love each of your neighbors as you do yourself? Even if you were to limit this to just your Christian brothers and sisters, can you say that you love every one of your Christian brothers and sisters as you do yourself? If not, it is sin. It is sin. Now, the problem with our society today is that we've lost sight of what it means to be truly holy. Truly holy. We've lowered the bar so much on what it means to be truly holy that we think that sin is being an axe murderer or something like that. I mean, you got to do something really bad to think that you have sinned. Well, if you could lose your salvation because of dirty feet, if you could lose your salvation because of some sin that came into your life, let me ask you a question. How much sin would it take? How much sin would it take? You might say, well, Brother Keith, it would be only the really big sins, or maybe if I did a bunch of the really smaller sins, right? Yeah, if that is what you believe, then I want you to show me in the Bible where it gives us that scale. It gives you a scale of 10 of these sins is enough, or one of these sins is enough. You tell me in the Bible where it says that, all right? How much sin is too much? The answer is one half of one sin would damn you to hell forever. One half of one sin would damn you to hell forever. And I've said it multiple times that I wouldn't trust the best 5 minutes I have ever lived to get me into heaven, let alone the vast majority of the 5 minutes that I live, which is a whole lot worse than the very best one that I have ever lived, right? I wouldn't trust the very best 5 minutes of my life to get me into heaven. You see, Jesus said, you don't need another bath, Peter, but you got to have your feet washed. You've got dirty feet. Remember, he's talking spiritually here, not about Peter's physical feet. Now, the Lord is going to keep you. Do you know why? Because the Bible says he will. Hebrews 10:14 says, for by one offering, does that say two offerings? Does that say many offerings? Does that say every single day? It says one offering. he hath protected today, just for today. Is that what he says? Forever them that are sanctified. For by one offering he has sanctified us forever. One offering. Did you know that if you got saved and lost again, that Jesus would have to die again? He would have to go back up there on that cross to get you saved again. He hath sanctified you forever by his one offering. Jesus said you don't need another bath. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now this says that your salvation was not your idea. You didn't wake up one day and says, you know, I think it'd be just a good idea if I went and got saved. That ain't the way it happened. I'm here to tell you, this says that your salvation has nothing to do with how much or how often you sin. It has nothing to do with what type of work for Christ that you do. It has everything to do with being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We sing Amazing Grace. Now, not nearly enough for my taste, but we sing Amazing Grace every once in a while, right? The Bible says that God sought us, God bought us, and God brought us. God sought us, God bought us, and God brought us. It's of God. Salvation is of God. That's what Jonah said in the belly of the whale. Salvation is of God. It is a God thing. Who began the good work in you? The Holy Spirit. He's the one who commenced it. You didn't just say, okay, Holy Spirit, you come do your work in me. No, the Holy Spirit began. Jesus loved us before we ever loved him, right? So the Holy Spirit, he's the one who commenced the good work in you. Who convicted you of sin? The Holy Spirit of God. Who brought you to salvation? The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the convictor, he is the converter, and he is the completer. He is the completer. I mean, if it's up to you to do the work to complete your salvation, then it's not going to get finished. It ain't going to get finished. I'm just telling you, if it's up to you, you ain't going to heaven. The Holy Spirit never, ever leaves a job unfinished. He does not leave your salvation, your sanctification, half done. He does not quit halfway through his work based on some level of sin that you do or don't do. He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it. If it were true that he would stop working on you because you lost your salvation due to some sin, then he would never start to begin with, because he already knows whether you will be saved or not. If you believe that salvation is a true gift of God, if you believe that you cannot earn your way to salvation, then you must believe that you cannot earn your way to losing your salvation. If it is a true gift of God, and you believe that that you do not earn your way into salvation, then you have to believe that you can't earn your way into losing your salvation. It is a gift of God. Jesus is the one who is going to keep his own. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't look at me with, Keith, are you saying that everybody just doesn't have to do anything? Yes, you have to accept the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Yes, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master. Just understand what I'm saying. This is the Holy Spirit that is bringing it to you. Jesus is the one who is going to keep his own. He says, Father, those that you have given me, I have kept. Past tense, kept. So, and he will keep you. And we learn here that Jesus said, you don't have to keep on getting bathed. You don't have to have another bath. If you've been washed, you're washed. Now, I need to wash your feet, but you don't have to get saved all over again. And the proof that all this is true is the fact that nowhere in the Bible does it give us an example of somebody getting saved twice. Nowhere in the Bible will you find an example of somebody getting saved twice. He that is washed doesn't need to be washed again, but he does get his feet dirty, and so he needs to go back to Jesus to get his feet washed. So first, there's a lesson concerning salvation. Make sure that you're washed. Salvation is essential. Second, there is a lesson concerning security. Security is eternal. Jesus will keep you in the palm of His hand. Nobody and nothing can take you out of the hand of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. If they could, He wouldn't be Jesus Christ. He wouldn't be God. And that includes you, by the way. You can't take yourself out of Jesus' hand. All right? So, first lesson is concerning salvation. Second lesson is concerning security. There's a third lesson I want to talk about this morning. A lesson concerning sanctification. Sanctification is extended to you. John chapter 13, verse 8 says, Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. We spent a lot of time on this verse last week. Guess what? I'm going to spend some more time on it here. Okay? I'm going to come at it from a different direction. All right, so now the word part that Jesus uses here is translated from a Greek word which means fellowship. Fellowship. He is saying, Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, we're not going to have fellowship together. Now the word literally means have nothing in common. Nothing in common. Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, we will have nothing in common. Nothing in common. So here they were at the table. Now, when they ate, they didn't just sit in chairs at a table like you see in that famous paper. No, the custom of that day was to lay on the ground in a circle around a little bitty short table where the food was. And you might have two people with their two heads together, but inevitably you'd have one person with somebody's smelly feet right there in their face, right? Now, can you imagine being around a table for a meal and having somebody with stinking feet right there in your face? Yeah, no, nobody would want to do that, right? So Jesus said, now look, if you're going to have fellowship, if you're going to sit around the table with me, you got to get your feet washed. That's what He's telling you, okay? So yes, He was using a literal experience, but He was teaching a spiritual truth. Because when we come to fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ, we don't want dirty feet. Sin separates us from Jesus Christ. Even if we are saved, it still separates us if we have unconfessed sin in our lives, unconfessed and unforgiven sin. So you say, okay, Brother Keith, I agree that my feet are dirty and I need to get my feet washed. And how do I go about doing that? Well, see here, you guys are just asking better and better questions every week, okay? That just leads me right into the next section of my lesson here, right? How do I go about getting my feet washed? Well, the first option is you can just ignore those dirty feet, and a lot of Christians do that. They just ignore their dirty feet. They say, my sins are so small that I don't need to do anything about them. Well, you know what? They just get dirtier and dirtier. They just get dirtier and dirtier. All right, that's the first option. Just ignore them. Second option is that you can deny them. You know what? They still stink. They still stink. You say, Keith, I have always lived in obedience with the law and the commandments of the Bible, so I don't need to do anything. I am close enough to perfect. Close enough to perfect. Whatever that means, I have no clue, but close enough to perfect, right? Well, if that is what you think, then you're just an old Pharisee when you've got dirty feet and you walk around denying them. You are walking around with smelly feet and everybody else can smell them, but you deny having stinky feet, okay? So then there's the third option, and here's the one I like. You can confess those sins and let Jesus wash them. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the Bible says that we can get our dusty, dirty feet clean so we're ready to have fellowship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is not about salvation, okay? It is about having fellowship with Jesus. And so, by washing our feet, Jesus is extending to us sanctification, not salvation. The act of Jesus washing your feet spiritually is about sanctification, not salvation. Everybody understand that? Everybody amen? Amen. All right. I'm not getting much of an amen there. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. We have all of that if we are saved. But we need to get our spiritual feet clean and washed. Okay? So, we've had a lesson concerning salvation. Make sure that you're washed. Salvation is essential. Second, there is a lesson concerning security. Security is eternal. Eternal. The third one is a lesson concerning sanctification. Sanctification is extended to you. And now here is the fourth and last lesson. There is a lesson concerning service. Service is expected. You see, I told you I'd eventually get to that part about serving humbly our Lord, right? I eventually got here. It took me almost 2 weeks, but I finally got to this point, right? Now, in this example, Jesus, but I tell you what, I think I'm going to probably take this in a direction that you're not thinking I'm going to take it. Let's just hang on and you tell me if this is what you really thought, okay? So, in this example, Jesus is serving his disciples, but now notice what he says to them. Chapter 13, verses 12 through 17. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Now pay close attention here, because this is where a lot of people get all twisted around thinking that this is a commandment to physically wash each other's feet. But remember, we just said washing feet and what it represented. It represents getting rid of sin by forgiveness, right? That's what Jesus is talking about, getting rid of sin by forgiveness. So here is the Creator of the world, the Lord and Master, who is washing their feet. He left the throne for a towel. The Bible says in verse 4, he laid aside his garments. And that's so descriptive of what we've been talking about here for the last couple of weeks. Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. That is, he laid aside his garments of glory that he had in heaven, out of the ivory palaces, into this world of woe, Jesus came to serve. Jesus came to serve. Now, if you think that you are too big and too important to serve, then you are thinking yourselves as being bigger and more important than Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ came to serve, right? I've seen people too big for God to use and to serve. I've never seen someone too small to serve. I've never seen someone too... Usually the smaller you are, the better servant you are to begin with, right? The better heart that you have to learn how to serve. Yeah, there is a lesson concerning service, and service is expected. Jesus had laid aside his robes of glory. He was born in a smelly manger. He paid taxes. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. About the only possession that he had when he died was a seamless robe. But there he is, washing feet. And he is giving us an example. Now, Jesus wasn't starting a church ceremony here. He was teaching us. Remember, Jesus was giving us a spiritual message in salvation, security, sanctification, and service. He was using a physical act to teach us these things. Again, if you think that foot washing ceremony brings you closer to God, then absolutely agree. I think you ought to do it, and I have no problem with it. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful ceremony with a whole lot of really good messages that take place. But there's nowhere in the Bible that I can find that this was ever taught as a ceremony by the Lord, like the Lord's Supper or baptism. Our Lord was not talking about introducing a new ordinance, a new church ceremony. There's no evidence of the Bible of that. As a matter of fact, foot washing is an act of humility. And humility, in my estimation, may cease to be humility if you put it on show up there at the very front of the church. If you get up in front of everybody to show just how humble you are, then you run the real danger of not being humble. If you get up here and say, look at me, look how humble I am, you're not being very humble, right? Now, I'm not saying you don't do it, but you think about how we take the Lord's Supper. You know, the focus isn't on us. The focus is on Jesus Christ and what He did for us, right? When you go up there and do a foot washing service, where's the focus? Look at what I'm doing. I'm being humble. Right? Hey, again, with the right attitude, with the right heart, if it makes you closer to God, absolutely. But it can really easily turn into something else if you're not careful. Right? I think, can you do foot washing up there in front of the church and have a humble heart and have it done? Absolutely. I'm just telling you, it's real easy to let it turn into something else. Okay? So, I believe that our Lord is teaching personal service to one another. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You see, what our Lord was doing is saying, Peter, I'm going to forgive you your trespasses. I'm going to wash your feet. Well, if Jesus has forgiven me my trespasses, then I, Keith Martin, need to forgive each of you your trespasses, right? That's what it's all about. Jesus says, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, then you need to wash one another's feet. You need to forgive your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you need to build them up in the faith. That's what you're doing when you spiritually wash somebody's feet. You're forgiving them of their sins, and you're helping to build them up, right? There are people around you whose feet need to that you need to wash. Spiritually, of course, because Jesus has washed our feet. Galatians 6:1-2 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So there are people in this church who have dirty feet. They need our love and not our condemnation. You know, somebody has said that the church is the only army in the world that shoots its wounded. The only army in the world that shoots its wounded. There's so many of us who are Christians, truly Christians, but we need to get our feet washed. There's one thing you will never, ever do, and that is look down upon someone while you're down on your knees washing their feet, right? As a matter of fact, I believe that the Holy Spirit of God, if you are listening to Him and He's speaking to you right now about somebody whose feet you need to wash, not literally, but spiritually, you need to get with that person, forgive them, and build them up and restore them, right? You remember what Jesus said, "What I do, you do not know now, but you will know later." I guarantee you, Peter knew later because Peter had cursed and sworn and denied Jesus. And Jesus forgave him and restored him. Simon Peter didn't get saved all over again. Jesus said, "Simon, I prayed for you that your faith fail not." It never did fail. Jesus never prays for something that it doesn't happen, right? So it never did fail, but his feet got dirty. He cursed and swore and denied the Lord Jesus Christ. That's about as serious as you can get, right? But he did not lose his salvation. Do you want to serve? You know how the world judges a person? This is the way it is in the world's eyes, right? By how many servants you have. The more servants you have, the higher you are, the better, wealthier, more successful person you are, right? Jesus measures us in how many people we have served. God has a place of service for you. Do you believe that? I hope you do. You say, "Well, I'm too important to wash somebody's feet." Well, then I feel sorry for you. I really do. I feel sorry for you. Do you want to serve? You know, I want you to imagine something here today. I want you to look at that door back there in the back. Look at that door back there, and I want you to imagine the Son of God walking through that door into this classroom right now. Now, it'd be the first time we'd ever seen him in the flesh, right? Now, one day we're going to see him in the flesh. I believe that there is a man in the glory. But I want you to imagine Jesus coming through that door, and he has a towel around his loins, and he has a basin of water. And he comes up to you, and he says, "May I wash your feet?" Well, this is Jesus. This is the Lord of glory. You're going to say, "What? Oh, no, Lord, you can't wash my feet. No way you're going to kneel down and wash my feet." And he'd say to you, "If I don't wash you, you can't have any fellowship with me." And then the tears would begin to come down your face. And you'd say, "Yes, Lord, you can wash my feet. Yes, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me of my sins," right? Can you imagine him washing your feet? And then suppose the Lord were to say to you, "Now, will you wash my feet?" And what would you say? "Oh, yes, Lord, I will gladly wash your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I can wash your feet." And you know what? You'd be thrilled to do that, wouldn't you? You'd be thrilled to do whatever Jesus commanded you to do and to serve him. Well, you say, "Brother Keith, I'd wash the Lord's feet if I could. If he was standing right here, I'd do that. I really would. But I can't. He's not here in this room. That was just a story, Keith. You can't do that." Yes, you can. Listen to me. Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least one of these, my brothers, you have done it so to me." Now listen, if you don't wash somebody else's feet, if you won't forgive them and help them get clean of sin, then you're not worthy to wash Jesus' feet. "Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." If I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. How dare we go around refusing to forgive and to restore and to renew? Our Lord expects us to be in the foot washing business. There ought to be no animosity, no unforgiving spirit. "Be ye kind, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." If I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. Four lessons. Salvation is essential. Make sure you've had a bath. Security is eternal. Once you're washed, you don't need to get another washing, right? Number three, sanctification is extended. Our Lord is willing to wash your feet and put you into fellowship. Number four, service is expected. The Lord who's washed our feet wants us to forgive, restore, and renew our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Amen. Now, did I take that service piece in the direction you thought I'd take it? Now, come on, have you ever heard it on a message like forgiving other people's sin? I had never heard that a message on that aspect of humbly serving Christ. Yeah, you guys may have, but I had not ever heard that before. So I got blessed this week as I learned that lesson myself here. Okay? Amen.